Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby. Hope you're all doing well out there. So, the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, the commander-in-chief of our military, sleepy Joe Biden, nauseating to say that. He says to the American people, the American public, he actually said this in public, that we would need F-15s, fighter jets, and nuclear weapons to take on the government. Okay, this is the president talking to Americans, people. First of all, take a step back a second. Who's taking over the government? That's my first question. No one. No one's taking over the government. This is where the spin and the play on words come in. From Biden, the ridiculous left, his handlers, where they want to spin everything and make it so dramatic, make the right sound like we're horrible people. No rational thinker out there is saying, hey, everybody, let's get a bunch of people together and as many weapons as possible and overthrow the government. Now, are there sick radicals out there that would like to do that? Yeah, there's sick radicals everywhere. On the left, on the right, of course. Of course there are. But they're few and far between. I mean, well, let's face it. But however, the moronic left, as ridiculous as they are, they paint the picture that all conservatives, and especially all Trump supporters, are these radicals that want to overthrow the government. And we know that is false. Nobody's looking to overthrow a government. A majority, a very large majority, meaning most, if not all conservatives and Trump supporters, don't want to take over or overthrow the United States government at all. No, instead, like most rational Americans, just want the Constitution to be followed, adhered to, and defended by our lawmakers, who they all raise their right hand, put their hand on the Bible, and swore an oath to do just that, to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. And unfortunately, we know most lawmakers, both Democrats and Republicans, have violated that oath over and over again with whether it's ridiculous bills presented, actions, and even some laws that have been passed that are in direct violation of the Constitution or have been deemed in direct violation of the Constitution. Joe Biden likes this term. No amendment is absolute. He used it recently, used it not too long ago, just recently. I mean, well, in a sense, he's correct, meaning an amendment can be made to the Constitution, but a law or an executive order, you know, can't do that. He just can't make an executive order that supersedes the Constitution. You know, it has to be done a certain way. And we have a Supreme Court that is supposed to ensure that. We hope anyway. That's questionable sometimes, we know. You know, it's very clear. Article 5 of the Constitution, it provides, there's two ways to propose amendments to the Constitution. Amendments can be proposed either by the Congress through a joint resolution that has to be passed by two-thirds vote, or it has to be a convention called by Congress And that's in response to applications from 2/3 of all the state legislatures in the country. That is how an amendment is made to the Constitution. In other words, it's not very easy to amend the Constitution, and obviously for good reasons, like trying to take away our right to bear arms or freedom of speech or to assemble or free religion and all that good stuff. So the Constitution is not an easy document to just change. There's a process. And that's why when people say, well, they're going to take away our rights. No, and that's why amendments are there, like the Second Amendment and other amendments, to ensure our rights are protected. But then we also have this confusion, speaking of the Second Amendment, about what the Second Amendment is for. And even gun enthusiasts, it's convoluted sometimes how depending on who you talk to, what they will say the Second Amendment for. It's very clear. Second Amendment is not for hunting. It's not for target shooting. And it has to be the shortest and direct to the point amendment we have. Well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's pretty straightforward. The security of a free state. Free. But the president says guns aren't enough anyway, so what's the big deal if he takes away the most popular rifle, most popular gun owned among Americans today, the big bad AR-15. So, but what do you take away from what Sleepy Joe says about the Second Amendment not being absolute? Gun bans, and we need F-15s and nukes to take on the government. I mean, tell me in the comments, what is your take on that? Is he insinuating that if he wants to take AR-15s away or anything else, that the American people are no match for today's military, and that he has fighter jets, he could bomb us out of our homes if we feel the need to rise against a tyrannical government, tyrannical government. Sorry, I had a idiot moment. I mean, is that what he's saying? That if the government decided to go against its people and disarm us, that we wouldn't have a shot in hell to defend ourselves because he has F-15s and nukes? I mean, that's some pretty strong words coming from the president of the United States. It's pretty strong words. But here, listen, if you didn't listen to it, listen and watch for yourself right here what he says.
Own them. And I might add, the Second Amendment from the day it was passed limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the tree of liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there have never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. The point is that there's always been the ability to rationally limit the type of weapon that can be owned and who can own it. The last time we had data on this issue of who was purchasing guns was more than 20 years ago. 5% of gun dealers, turns out, in the study we did, showed that 90% of illegal guns were found at the crime scenes sold by 5% of gun dealers. 5% sold 90% of the guns found at crime scenes. And these merchants of death are breaking the law for profit. They're selling guns that are killing innocent people. It's wrong. It's unacceptable. As the Attorney General said, we're going to crack down on those gun dealers and the violent criminals they knowingly arm. In April, I announced that the Justice Department is going to be issuing an annual report on gun trafficking so we can update that data. Today, the department is announcing, as I just did, a major crackdown on stem the flow of guns used to commit violent crimes. It's zero tolerance for gun dealers who willfully violate key existing laws and regulations. Let me repeat, zero tolerance. If you willfully sell a gun to someone who's prohibited from possessing it, if you willfully fail to run a background check, if you willfully falsify a record, if you willfully fail to cooperate with the tracing requests or inspections, my message to you is this: we'll find you, and we will seek your license to sell guns. We'll make sure you can't sell death and mayhem on our streets. It's an outrage. It has to end, and we'll end it, period. Second.
So is he just peacocking and saying, ha ha, my firepower will beat yours and you're no match for me? I mean, F-15s and nukes, really? Joe Biden says you can't overthrow the government with guns, but then his administration, all of his minions on the left, says that the government was almost overthrown by an unarmed mob of Trump supporters on January 6th at the imaginary insurrection. Well, which is it? Do we not have enough guns to overthrow the government, or was the government almost overthrown on January 6th at the Capitol by unarmed Trump supporters? This is what I mean with the ridiculousness, it's stupidity is what it is. Everything is politicized, everything against the right, everything against conservatives. It's insanity. Joe Biden wants our AR-15s. He's always wanted them. That's without a doubt. We know he's never going to get them. It's not going to have mandatory buybacks. Nobody's spending $200 per weapon that they have or per magazine that they have. We are not Canada. We are not Australia. We are not the UK. We are the United States of America. And I can guarantee you that there are millions that will fight against our government to protect their freedoms, especially if Joe Biden decided to threaten American citizens with F-15s and nukes to take their AR-15s. I imagine they would probably remove him from the Oval Office in a straitjacket. But who knows? The way things that are going on, that are going right now in this country, would we really be surprised? Would we? I don't know. Our freedoms, our Second Amendment rights, are not getting inner city kids gunned down in McDonald's drive-thrus with their parents, like in Chicago. Our freedoms and rights are not putting illegally procured weapons in the hands of criminals. Law-abiding citizens who are responsible gun owners are not buying guns to commit crimes, nor are they building guns at home for the purpose of committing crimes, like these, in air quotes, ghost guns. Although it is legal to build guns at home, but not to sell them. But like anything else, criminals will find a way. That is 100%. Criminals will always get guns. We can have all the gun laws we want. Bad guys will always get their hands on guns. There is a federal law out there that regulates the ghost guns, the kit guns, the building of guns at home, which is perfectly legal. There's a federal law that regulates it. The complete lower receiver of an AR-15 or the section that the trigger's in, the lower part, for those that don't really know what I'm talking about, of the rifle, they have to be serialized and regulated, okay? However, they do have a lower receiver. They call lower receiver blanks. I don't know if all the states you can get them. And they're 80% complete, which apparently do not have to have serial numbers, and they're 100% legal under federal law as well right now. There are gun owners out there who believe in some gun regulation. You know, I'm one of them to a point. I believe that most Americans, especially ones that I know, some of my crazy friends, just not that they would do anything malicious, but they probably shouldn't have access to automatic machine guns and like grenades and bazookas. Yeah, I'm 100% in support of not changing anything with the current federal background checks. You don't need these psychological exams. You don't need, like in New York, social workers coming into your home, talking to everyone in your family, your neighbors. Oh, and if you have any ex-spouses, to talk to them too. No, that's ridiculous. That's infringing on rights. Some people think just having any type of gun regulation is an infringement of their constitutional right. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. The background checks as of now, they work. The AR-15, again, and I've said it before, it's not an assault rifle. We know that. There's no such official term as assault rifle. The term assault rifle is used by media and fear mongers just to do that, to scare the general public who do not know anything about weapons. AR-15, assault rifle, they're big, bad, they're ugly, they're scary, they can kill a lot of people, which is completely false. The narrative is false. It's nonsense. It's no more deadly. It can't shoot any more rounds faster than a Glock handgun. Excuse me. We know that. Semi-automatic. Not to go into whole gun education here. You know, and if you don't believe me, those who don't own guns, maybe someone who's against guns listening or watching, which I doubt, walk into any gun store in America and ask them to show you to the assault rifle section. I'm imagining you'll get a weird look and say, yeah, we don't have that type of section here. There is no such thing. It doesn't matter. You know, Joe Biden says, well, you shouldn't have a gun that can shoot 20, 30, 40, 100 rounds. Well, why not? It doesn't matter if the magazine holds 10, 100, or 1,000 rounds. Because the AR-15 does not shoot any faster than any other semi-automatic weapon, including a handgun. We all know it's like gun 101 semi-automatic. It will only shoot as fast as you can pull the trigger. If you're a fast trigger puller, then you can shoot bullets fast. One trigger pull, one round fires from the gun. That's semi-automatic. We know full automatic is you press the trigger, and rounds keep going until you take your finger off the trigger. Keep firing until you take your finger off the trigger. Yeah, we can't own those. The radical left, the fear-mongering and the brainwashing, it's complete nonsense. It's ridiculous. It needs to stop. Unfortunately, it's not going to stop. They'll double down on it, triple down on it. They'll keep pushing it. It's not rational. It's all lies, and it's being used to push the power and control narrative. And right now, state after state are passing constitutional carry laws and doing whatever they can to protect its citizens from nonsensical gun laws. And we know that the federal government does not like that at all. We do have a strong constitution that guarantees us many rights. And it's important, it's so important as Americans that we stand up for our rights. That also means against a tyrannical government, if need be. If our government were to rise against us, what are we just going to let them do what they want with us? We're free men, free women, free whatever you want to call yourself these days. Nobody wants that. I don't want that. That's not what our society is about. We're a free society. We should never have to worry about our government rising against us. But if they do, are you going to be there to stand up for your rights, for your fellow man's rights? Or are you going to just give up and surrender? I hope it never, ever, 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 ever has to happen. But remember, we shall not be infringed. So it looks like President Trump lit a fire under Kamala Harris's ass about visiting the border. He decides he's going to go to the border because Governor Abbott from Texas invited him. And all of a sudden, the Biden administration is like, well, we can't have Donald Trump go down there before our borders are. So, of course, the Biden administration spun the whole Harris visiting the border as a planned trip in the works from like March. And it wasn't. We know that. Circleback Psaki says she specifically said the administration does not take their cues from the former president. Well, yeah, Chucky. Yeah, you did this time. It's obvious. So you can tell all the lies that you want, but the only reason why Kamala Harris has went to the border is because, well, got to get there before Donald Trump. Donald Trump, he accepted the invitation of the Texas governor, Governor Abbott, to go and tour the border to, obviously, to see the invasion of illegal aliens. It's not a migration. It's an invasion of illegal aliens that Joe Biden made happen. Governor Abbott himself, he's taking the border security into his own hands. He already said that he's allocating funding. I think it's like $250 million to build a wall to protect his state from illegals, crime, from cartels, from drugs, human trafficking. He's trying to do as much as he can. Other states are sending law enforcement. Florida, there's a list of other states that are sending law enforcement resources to help with the border security and border enforcement down by the Texas border, the Rio Grande Valley, McAllen, Texas, the real epicenter where it's really, really bad, that the entry points of where they're all invading from. I'm going to use that word invading because that's what it is. And it's a man-made invasion that was orchestrated by the Biden administration. We know that. They'll never admit it. They blame it on Trump and everything else. Governor Abbott, he is vowing that illegals who cross into Texas illegally will be arrested and jailed. Now, unfortunately, that comes with its own problems, like jail overcrowding and obviously the funding to take care of these illegals while they're incarcerated. That's big money. That's strain on the taxpayers. But hey, what's the big deal? We're throwing around money like crazy in this administration, a trillion here, a trillion there. What's another trillion here, there, everywhere? It doesn't matter. Trillion is the new billion. Billion doesn't seem that much money anymore because all we keep hearing is trillion. You see how your mind gets conditioned to the word trillion. No, it's not that big a deal. Billion does not seem like that much when trillion is said so much over and over and over. So the issue with Texas jailing illegals will be if the federal government will actually deport them back to their home countries, which they probably won't. Most likely, the feds will pluck the illegals out of Texas jails and they'll set them free into the interior of the country. I'd expect Joe Biden to absolutely do that, that there would be no deportation of anybody arrested by Texas law enforcement for invading the country illegally and put in their jails. I just don't see it. Not right now, anyway. So now that the former president is planning on visiting the border, and you know that that's going to be a spectacle. Sean Hannity's going with him and Abbott. You know they're going to do a big presser. You know it's going to be huge. And obviously, the the Biden administration couldn't allow Donald Trump to beat the illustrious border czar there. So I guess after it's, what is it, 95 plus days, maybe more, that Harris was tapped as the border czar, you know, she's all of a sudden rushed down there to tour the border. She never had a press conference since she became border czar. She flew over the border twice to visit Guatemala and Mexico on this ridiculous campaign to spread falsehoods about the root causes of the invasion. Again, this isn't a migration, people. This is an invasion of future Democrats to fatten up the Democrat voting rolls. I say that time and time again. That's exactly what this is. It's part of the plan. Not a conspiracy theory. It's a fact, people. It's the largest Democratic voting registration drive in modern U.S. history. I've said that 100 times. And let me be clear. It's of no fault. No fault to all those illegals coming here for a better life. It's not their fault. Why wouldn't they come? If they know they can stay and get a lot of free benefits, why wouldn't they come? If you were living in a place stricken with poverty, violence, and under the rule of ruthless cartels and gangs, you too obviously would want to escape that place for a better life. Wow, did I just describe New York City? Anyway, you get my point. You live in a crappy hellhole. You have an opportunity to go to a place that's not a crappy hellhole. You're going to take that opportunity, and that's exactly what these illegals are doing, and upon the invitation of the Biden administration. I mean, he said in his presidential debate when he's president, he said he's going to flood the border. He's going to purge the border. Tell everybody to come. It's not their fault. It's the fault of our government, again, in failing to secure the border and enforce any immigration laws. Donald Trump had great border security. Enforced immigration laws. Oh, people didn't like it. It made him a bad man. No, he kept the illegals out. If you were seeking asylum, you could come in. There was a process. Then there's the process to legal citizenship. That's how it should be. And this is plenty of reasons for the Republicans to launch lawsuit bombs at the Biden regime. Because there has to be laws, federal immigration laws that are being violated. There has to be. So what did Kamala Harris decide to do? Her and Secretary Mayorkas from Homeland Security, they decided to get on their plane and we're going to go to the border. She went to El Paso. And she visited an area of the border, get this, where all the wall in that area, it's complete. So yes, she visited an area where there is next to no illegal entries or compromised border wall areas. This is just very, very convenient. Because they needed these optics to show that everything was under control. And that would be great for the Biden administration. And mainstream media will fall into line and report it that way. I'm imagining that the way it was covered, it'll be covered a lot differently when Donald Trump goes. It's going to be very interesting. I believe Donald Trump goes next week, some point, I think the 30th. So she goes to El Paso. And some congresswoman, I forget her name, from the area, she all happily greets everybody. And she says, hello, everybody. And, you know, welcome to her community. And El Paso is the new Ellis Island. Well, the new Ellis Island. Listen, I'm sure you've had someone in the family come through Ellis Island. I've had someone in my family come through Ellis Island legally, because that's how they came to this country, through Ellis Island legally. The legal process. So now you're comparing Ellis Island, the place where legal immigration happened, to El Paso and the southern border, where it's all illegals coming through. This is the moronic idiocy we see on the left. El Paso is the new Ellis Island. It's got to be the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And then she sat at the border. She took some questions. And she's saying she inherited, the Biden administration inherited a bad situation from Trump, and that they made progress in 5 months. Where did they make progress? There's no progress. They made everything worse. There was progress when Donald Trump was president and he had the border secured. They want to blame weather conditions about migration from Guatemala and Mexico, the drought. They want to blame everything then for what it is. They were invited. They want to talk about everything except for our border, the security of it, what's going on in our country because of the invasion of illegal aliens. And I love that, again, that the notion that this trip was not planned because Trump is going there. It's complete bullshit. And of course, the optics, oh, it's not as bad as it looks. And, you know, this is the everything was blamed on Trump. And it's not as bad as Republicans are saying. The numbers don't lie. But the left doesn't care about the numbers. They care about the influence from the media to carry and push the left narrative to benefit the radicals and brainwash their masses. That's not conspiratorial. That's fact, because that's what they do. Like she has a press conference in a hangar. You could barely hear her on the microphone. I'm not even going to play in any clips of it because you could barely hear her. Her voice makes me vomit. I'll put the link of her stupid little press conference in the show notes if you feel so compelled to try hard not to throw up all over yourself by listening. So she took questions and she deflected all of them by saying she went to El Paso because that was the place where Trump's disastrous immigration policies were unveiled and enacted. Again, blaming everything on Trump. Everything on Trump. She met some accompanied minors and she talked about dealing with the root causes. We know the root causes. We know the root causes why people are coming here. For a better life. Get away from the gang violence, the cartels, the poverty. Not because of climate change and hurricanes and droughts. Then she says, we're their neighbors in the Western Hemisphere. We owe this to them to just let them all in and give them all our free shit. Okay. But we still have to protect our home, our country. Most of us out there, I imagine, would help our neighbors if they needed it. Neighbors meaning the person who lives next door, and the house next door, the apartment next door, across the street, whatever it is. You would help your neighbors. But not at the expense of the safety of your home. I wouldn't help my neighbor if I knew it was going to put the safety of my home in jeopardy. Okay, yeah, we're Central America's neighbors. Yeah, but we're a different country. Their problems are not our problems. Maybe I sound cold and bad, but I don't care about the root causes in Guatemala or Mexico or why they want to come to my country. I don't care. It's not my problem. Figure it out. We send hundreds of millions of dollars there. Who knows where that money goes? It goes to like civic groups. It doesn't go to the government because we don't trust the government, but who are these civic groups? Who's looking into where the money's going? Do we know where the money's going? What is it being used for? If Kamala Harris said once talking about going down there and checking out, making sure they have enough streetlights. Come on. It was all smoke and mirrors. Homeland Security, this Secretary Mayorkas says that the facility they toured was not overwhelmed or over capacity. Yeah, because they removed people before they got there. Why didn't they go to McAllen, Texas, or the Rio Grande Valley, or other parts of the border where the wall is compromised? Well, because the optics would be horrendous. Why didn't they go to an area where they could see people swimming across the Rio Grande? They just recently had some big shootouts where multiple people were killed because the cartels are killing each other at the border and fighting over territory and smuggling this and smuggling that. There was absolutely no substance to this visit to the border. The Biden administration resettled more than 18,300 migrant children across the country in the matter of a couple months. No transparency at all. Where did they send the children? And who did they settle these kids with? They said, 80% of them had relatives in the country. That's bullshit. Did they do DNA testing on these people that said that they were family members of these children to verify that? How did they do any type of verification? They didn't. Oh, yeah, it's so-and-so's niece or nephew, or they have a parent here. Or they falling into the hands of cartels. Or sick people, even in America, who see an opportunity to traffic and exploit children. Why aren't we talking about that? The protection, of these children and the cartels that are paying top dollar for them and selling them over and over and over and over and over again because they're a commodity, these children. And where around this country did 18,300 migrant children go? And who were they with? This whole border thing with Harris was, it was a campaign to put positive spin on a really, really bad situation that they just won't admit is horrible. She sat in an airport hangar. She was inside here. She was inside there. They didn't spend much time outside. They keep talking about the root causes and why they're fleeing. We already know why. What are we doing with the illegals that are here now that came illegally? We're sending them off into the interior of our country. She praised technology that has helped expedite processing them through the system. Well, how can we keep those who came illegally out of the system? Why have we completely dismantled border security? Another tidbit for you. The CDC Title 42 that Donald Trump enacted a year ago. It's a border control, like a regulation, a law. That has kept 650,000 border crossers out of the United States to protect public health because of the pandemic, to protect public health for Americans. That's set to expire July 31st. And the rumor is, so far we haven't seen it, but there's buzz about it, that Joe Biden's going to let that expire. And once that's expired and Title 42 is no longer there, which, by the way, they've only apparently been using Title 42 to keep people out only about 80% of the time, and they're using it less and less. And then when it expires in July, they're going to forget about it. And that's basically going to send a clear message to more illegals that want to come here to pay. Hey, guys, grab a kid, come here illegally, and we'll release you into the interior of the United States, and you'll end up getting whatever you want. We'll give you a driver's license. You'll get a job. You'll get free health care. You'll probably get some stimulus money. Who knows? And we'll make sure you registered as a Democrat so you can vote for all this bullshit that the Democrats stand for. Nothing was mentioned about drugs, weapons, or child trafficking, and the millions of dollars being made by the cartels daily, or the apprehensions of criminals who are coming over the border illegally, or the getaways, like 250,000 getaways that they couldn't apprehend. The left doesn't want those images in anyone's head, so they're never going to talk about it or acknowledge it. They deflected more and said the border is secure and that immigration laws are being enforced, which we already know is completely false. It's lies. It's bullshit. There was absolutely no truth and transparency at the border from Harris at all. Again. Nothing but smoke and mirrors about the border from this ridiculous border czar that is a complete failure. So I want to talk about the enormous spike in crime and violence all over the country that, of course, the Democrats never want to address or have a discussion about. They, you know, it's not so bad. It's all BS, that it's, you know, anything that a conservative says about crime is taken out of context. No. The left would rather talk about taking guns away from law-abiding citizens, defunding of the police, the fake narrative of the lethal threat of white supremacy, and make people think polar bears are racist because they're white, rather than actually want to enforce laws or enact laws and protect its citizens. Democrats love their criminals. Democrats love keeping criminals out of jail at any cost. Doing away with cashless bail, with the bail reform, minimizing crimes, categorizing arson and looting as peaceful protests, and so on and so on. It says it all when Democrats want violent felons to have their right to vote restored, which is part of that H.R. 1 bill. Because Democrats always have and always will, they pander to the less fortunate. They pander to criminals in jail and out of jail. And they exploit minority communities with false hopes, broken dreams, just to secure votes. That's what they do. And they don't care that cities burn because it's all peaceful. Tell me, remember this?
Nearly 3 weeks since Milwaukee Democrat Tim Carpenter was assaulted by protesters.
That was all that peaceful protesting going on all over the country. peaceful protesting. Billions and billions in dollars in damages. People hurt, people killed, businesses destroyed in the name of social injustice and racial injustice in this country. Martin Luther King would throw up all over himself if he saw what was going on. The New York City District Attorney just dropped charges against hundreds of criminals in those very riots in 2020. Because right now they're too busy to politically, they're trying to politically assassinate former President Trump and anybody around them. Then they'd rather do that than prosecute real crimes in New York. You can get arrested over and over again for so many crimes, some violent, some not violent, and not spend one night in jail, no matter your criminal record. You get released without bail, no matter your criminal record, thanks to cashless bail reform in New York, which other states have adopted and other Democrat-run states would like to adopt. Commit all the crimes you want. There'll be no bail. There'll be a back in time for dinner to do it all over again. What's the point of having a criminal justice system? And a lot of people on the left, especially radical BLM Marxists, would agree with that because they'd like nothing more than to abolish the criminal justice system, abolish the prison system, abolish the police, and have a lawless society that they think would be the best place on earth. Imagine that. Democrats, in true fashion, put criminals ahead of law-abiding citizens every chance they get. This is not an opinion. This is all fact. Prove me wrong. Comment. Let me know. And then you talk about January 6th. Arrestees, politically persecuted, in jail for trespassing. In jail for months for trespassing. Solitary confinement for trespassing. Tell me how any of that makes sense, how any of that is rational. How is it legal? It's insanity that people who didn't kill anybody, who didn't set fire to a building, who trespassed, complete idiots and degenerates that they are, they all got arrested for trespassing. Again, I say it, I think I've said it on every, like the last three or four episodes, that no one has been charged with insurrection. It wasn't an insurrection. They're all charged with trespassing and they're still sitting in jail. But in New York, I could set a building on fire, punch my neighbor in the face, kill a police dog, and be home in time for dinner to do it all over again. That is the society we live in. New York just had their mayoral primaries, both Republican and Democratic. New York is a blue bubble, and it's, you know, Curtis Sliwa, he won the Republican primary, and it looks like this guy, Eric Adams, he won the Democratic primary. I don't know if they're still counting or if they declared him the winner. Curtis Sliwa is the founder of the famous Guardian Angels. They became famous back in the 80s, like, or I think late 70s, like 78, when New York City was Fear City and the crack epidemic ruled the streets. Crime overwhelmed the NYPD. So these young men, there were a lot of them. They were like a small army, all volunteers. They're wearing their red berets, their white shirts to say Guardian Angels. They patrolled the subways and the neighborhoods, keeping the streets as safe as they possibly could to assist the police. And they did a bang-up job. They still do a bang-up job for the community today. They do a great job. And Curtis Sliwa was the mafia, the Gambino crime family. John Gotti tried to have him assassinated like twice or three times, one of which he was shot five times, I believe, in the back of a cab, and he lived. Anyway, he won the Republican primary. the Democratic primary, Eric Adams. He's a retired NYPD police captain, and I believe he's the current Brooklyn Borough president. So here's the thing. New York City's next mayor, okay, it's a Democratic stronghold, New York City. And as much as I'd love to see Curtis Sliwa as New York City's next mayor, I would love it. He's a Republican. He's pro police. He's a real New Yorker. I mean, rides the subway every day. He's New York through and through. It just doesn't seem possible. It's horrible to say, but 50,000 people only voted in the Republican primary for New York City mayor. 50,000 out of 5 boroughs. 800,000 voted in the Democratic primary. And that both seems, from what I look, it seems like low turnouts for primaries. But 50,000 Republicans came out to vote for the Republican primary to 800,000 Democrats. I mean, usually more people vote in the general election when it's narrowed down. That's usually what happens. But anyway, the margin is definitely not in favor of having a Republican mayor in New York City. I don't see it happening. I'd love to see a shock and that Curtis Sliwa was the next New York City mayor. Unfortunately, I don't think that's the case. We can only hope for New York. I'm in New York. I'm not in the city. I'm out in the suburbs. But we can only hope that Eric Adams, being that he's a retired NYPD captain, will be somewhat of a moderate Democrat mayor and not turn into a police-hating progressive. But you know how politics go. You don't know what ends up happening. I'd like to think that it wouldn't happen with him. But here's the thing with New York. Even if the new mayor, no matter who it was, wanted to turn the city around, it would be very, very difficult, and it's going to take a very, very long time. Most of the policies that favor criminals and not law-abiding citizens are law, were actually made laws, like Cashel's bail. And it will take a lot to reverse those changes, to make changes, if it's even possible. Right now, there are laws in place for Cashel's bail and witness suppression. Witnesses now in a crime in New York, if they come forward or get involved in any way, their personal information gets released to the defense attorney, to the defendant's attorney who was accused of the crime. Your home addresses are in it. Your phone numbers are in it. Everything is in it. So why would people want to come forward as witnesses to a crime in fear of any type of retaliation with witness tampering? Who cares if it, oh, but it's illegal. Who cares if it's illegal? It's not going to stop somebody out of desperation for taking a witness out if the crime is bad enough and they're a bad enough person. It's almost making witness tampering and witness intimidation legal by what they're doing. And why would police officers, especially in New York, but all over the country, but especially in New York, why would they want to do their jobs fully and put themselves in harm's way and gamble with their pensions when they have no qualified immunity from the city they work for? So by a police officer enforcing the city's laws and arresting someone for a crime and protecting and serving their community could get that police officer sued. Even if that criminal just makes up a story that they weren't treated right in custody. It doesn't have to be true. Most of them aren't. So all it takes is a story, and the city will not defend the officer. They were on their own. So why is a police officer, if you were a police officer, why would you go to work every day looking to fight crime when doing so, when fighting crime and protecting your community could make you lose your home, your pension, livelihood, maybe your family, or your life, and over a possible made-up allegation? Why not just sit in your police car, do the minimal amount of work that's required, that you can skate by, get your check, collect your pension, and go home. Do your time and go home. Let lawlessness just preside and take over the city. What's it matter? You're there for 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, and you go home. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about getting sued. City government made that happen. Lawmakers made that happen. People who put their hand on the Bible and swore an oath to protect the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of New York, the Charter of the Constitution of the City of New York for the NYPD. Everybody's violating their oaths because, wow. What does it matter anymore? What's a constitutional oath? What's the oath matter? Going to enforce crimes and possibly die over it or get sued over it and lose my family and my livelihood? Why? Why bother? I'll just sit in the police car. Why are lawmakers making these laws? Why are they making citizens of their cities unsafe? Criminals and Democrats ruling together is an attack on law-abiding citizens and the police that want nothing more to protect their communities. But they can't protect them because criminals and Democrats are ruling together. It's sick and it's ridiculous. And it's happening all over the country. Lawlessness rules in the radical left's America. That's a fact, people. Well, I'm going to leave it there. Joe Biden, he wants to nuke everybody and tell everybody he has F-15s, that we don't have enough guns to defend ourselves against a really shitty government, which we, you know, that's not going to happen. We got Kamala Harris showing her moronic face at the border for no reason. There's no progress there. And, you know, criminals and Democrats are ruling the roost in cities all over. And people need to wake up, stand up and fight like hell and do something about it. So that's it, everybody. Listen, go over to the website. Get all the episodes, The Great Divide, 1776.com. Watch the next few episodes that are coming up. We're going to have some really interesting people that you are going to recognize and know. You've seen them a lot around. I'm not going to give it away yet. You just watch the social media. There might be some previews, but I got some pretty cool guests that are going to be coming up soon. It's exciting, actually. So that's it. Listen, follow me on social media, Instagram, Facebook. I'm back. I'm out of Facebook jail. They're letting me do everything. They're not restricting me right now. Nobody's coming after me. I think I'm back like 4 or 5 days. In those 4 or 5 days, I've managed to amass like another 300 followers. It keeps growing. I'm on the road to 8,000 followers on Facebook. Get over there and like the Facebook page. Please, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, share the video, like the video. I don't care if you comment and tell me I'm a piece of shit. Say something, do something, like, subscribe, go to the website, greatdivide1776.com. I will see you all soon. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And most of all, God bless America. We'll see you soon. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.